December 1st, 2013, Afternoon Service. Today we are going to study from Psalm 35 of David. Plead my cause, O Lord, with them that strive with me, fight against them that fight against me. Take hold of shield and buckler, and stand up for mine help. Draw out also the spear, and stop the way against them that persecute me. Say unto my soul, I am thy salvation. Let them be confounded and put to shame that seek after my soul. Let them be turned back and brought to confusion that devise my hurt. As you know, David is a well-known character in the Old Testament. He was a king for life, just like Japanese emperor who also reigns for life. David left more than 100 psalms. His name also appears in the family tree of Jesus. Genealogy of Jesus, and people would call him a son of Abraham and a son of David. There are also 40 generations in his genealogy, and David is one of the most notable ones. Jesus is our king of the church, but he was persecuted, despised, and in the end captured and crucified. David was not crucified, but he did go through much persecutions too. His persecution by King Saul seems to overlap with us facing the great tribulation, I think. And as David pleaded God to fight against them, to fight against me, he experienced great injustice. David was only a young man or even a boy, but King Saul, a king of nation, went after him to kill him. The great thing about David was that he always looked to God. And he always responded, and King Saul ended up dying in the battlefield, and David, who depended on God, became the next king of the nation. When you seek the Lord, there is always persecution, but he shows us the importance of clinging to God instead of being angry at God or blaming God. David was powerless, just like all of us, compared to King Saul, a king of a nation, but there was no way of escaping the situation. But he always escaped the crisis, like the story in the cave. So we too have to learn not to trust our own strength, but to seek the Lord, as the verse says. Take hold of shield and buckler, and stand up for mine help. Draw out also the spear, and stop the way against them that persecute me. Say unto my soul, I am thy salvation. I don't think David actually saw God with his physical eyes, so it is his faith that saw God. It is not like we pray for God and he physically show up in front of our eyes. It has to be all faith-based, and I believe David was no different than us. We too at Remnant Church, we do things that are bigger than ourselves, like publishing a book. Book planning itself took us more than 2 years. I remember going to a publishing house and paid them and signed a contract, and they gave me a deadline, and I was told many unnerving things, and what I had was an impossible task. So I did pray a lot, and because of that, I was able to face some of the impossible situations peacefully and calmly. I think if I blew up under the pressure, the enemy would have had his way. But I was able to face the difficult situations calmly for the most part. I felt like God was preparing the way for us, despite of the trials. I thought about the story from the book of Daniel, where the angel was telling him that Daniel's prayer was heard on the first day he prayed, and God dispatched his angel with the answer of his prayer, but the angel was hindered by the enemy to come to Daniel. It is true that there are distractions and hindrances by the enemy. It is not only Daniel's time, the enemy's distraction can happen now too. But we were able to write, print, and publish the book after 2-3 years of constant prayer and the effort. Fight against those who fight against me. Take hold of shield and buckler, and stand up for my help, and draw out the spear, and stop those who pursue me. So just like David, it is most wise to cling to God for help when you are in a battle. It is different from giving up and choosing to be weak. It is a choice to be completely dependent on the Most High. Then the victory is promised, as David had victory over Saul, who was much more powerful than himself. David always had this dependency on God, even when he was fighting with Goliath. I think he was like 3 meters tall. It's rare to see a human being who is 2 meters high. 3 meters in height is truly a giant. I had a friend who was 1.95 meters, and I was always talking to his chest. And it was tiresome to always look up to see his face to talk to him. We became friends when I was working as a milk delivery man. He came to my wedding and I also went to his wedding, and then for the first time in my life I gave a speech at someone's wedding. I was so nervous. People were very calm till my time for speech, then people suddenly decided to started drinking and got more lively and loud, and no one could hear my speech. Anyway, going back to the tall Goliath, David was able to have victory over the Philistine because he was trusting the Lord. It is not like we should go into any battle all the time, but there is a time that we are called into a battle with an enemy who is bigger than us. But the smartest thing is to pray and cling unto the Lord. Verse 5. Let them be like chaff before the wind, and let the angel of the Lord chase them. Let their way be dark and slippery, and let the angel of the Lord pursue them. So, as the passage tells us, asking for help of the angels of the Lord is biblical, since it is written in the Bible. You remember the story of John and Peter being in prison, and it was the angels who set them free. But at the same time, if you're doing something against God's will, the angels of the Lord will chase you out and will prevent your ways. Good example is Ahab, who had 400 prophets telling him what he wanted to hear, but he was deceived and his life ended in destruction. When we live a holy life, the angels of the Lord also bring us messages and make God's will come to pass, like angels bring in the promise to Mary about the birth of Christ. After Jesus was born, the angel of the Lord also gave a dream to Joseph and instructed him to take the baby and escape to Egypt, thus escaping from Herod's massacre. If we truly wanted to be faithful to the Lord, God gives us revelations or warnings to prevent us from entering into a danger. A good example is Balaam, who became enamored with gold and silver, but God used a donkey to prevent him from going any further, otherwise he would have been killed. We could relate to this story as well, because we all choose the wrong path sometimes. But God uses even a donkey to tell us not to go, to change the path, and to stop going further. So when you see some kind of resistance, have a discernment to see if this is the Lord trying to tell you something. I had an experience like that too. I had made up my mind to tell someone about something, and I thought that it was the right thing to do. But as the day progressed, I started feeling something totally different. Since I have been following the Lord for quite some time, I thought it was the Lord trying to tell me something, and I obeyed. It would be a lie if I say I obey God 100% of the time, but at least I try, and I decided not to tell him the speech I was going to deliver. And it turned out that it was the right thing. If I sense these things, I am sure you're sensing these signs as well. It would be a problem if you don't feel God's prompting at all. Pay attention if someone is telling you something, like donkey trying to speak to Balaam, or if the traffic lights suddenly change on you and prevent you from driving forward. If you pay attention to everything, you cannot do anything, but to some degree, we should be mindful about these things all the time. for without cause they have hidden their net for me in a pit, which they have dug without cause for my life. Let destruction come upon him unexpectedly, and let his net that he has hidden catch himself. Into the very destruction let him fall, and my soul shall be joyful in the Lord, it shall rejoice in his salvation. All my bones shall say, Lord, who is like you, delivering the poor from him who is too strong for him, yet the poor and the needy from him who plunders him. This really happens, especially if you pursue Christian life, people trying to trap you or destroy you for no reason. Then the verse 11 says, fierce witnesses rise up. They ask me things that I do not know. They reward me evil for good to the sorrow of my soul. David also experienced these false witnesses. This happened to Jesus too. They brought in the false witnesses testifying that Jesus said to destroy the temple and would raise it up in 3 days. Jesus did only good things from the beginning, feeding 5,000 people, healing the sick, and setting people free from demons. Only good things. But they still brought in the false witnesses. So when you face tribulations, which might last for 3.5 years, please remember that David and Jesus also experienced that too. We too try to help people and pray for people, but some of them talk bad things about you, and unfortunately, we are entering into such era of persecution. They reward me evil for good to the sorrow of my soul, but as for me, when they were sick, my clothing was sackcloth. I humbled myself with fasting, and my prayer would return to my own heart. I paced about as though he were my friend or brother. I bow down heavily as one who mourns for his mother, but in my adversity they rejoiced and gathered together. Attackers gathered against me, and I did not know it. They tore at me and did not cease, with ungodly mockers at feast. They gnashed at me with their teeth. I truly believe that David really experienced such things. Same thing with Jesus. People mocked him non-stop, even when he was on the cross. So it is warning that it will happen to us too. So how should we react to that when this inevitable happens? We should do what David and Jesus did. When people attack, do not attack them back. When people talk behind your back, do not do the same, but remain silent. Lord, how long will you look on? Rescue me from their destructions. My precious life from the lions. I will give you thanks in the great assembly. I will praise you among many people. Let them not rejoice over me who are wrongfully my enemies, nor let them wink with the eye who hate me without a cause. For they do not speak peace, but they devise deceitful matters against the quiet ones in the land. They also open their mouth wide against me and say, aha, aha. Our eyes have seen it. This you have seen, O Lord. Do not keep silence. O Lord, do not be far from me. Stir up yourself and awake to my vindication, to my cause, my God and my Lord. Vindicate me, O Lord, my God, according to your righteousness. And let them not rejoice over me. Let them not say in their heart, oh, so we would have it. Let them not say, we have swallowed him up. Let them be ashamed and not brought to mutual confusion. Let them be ashamed and brought to mutual confusion who rejoice at my hurt. Let them be clothed with shame and dishonor who exalt themselves against me. But in the end, King Saul was the one who saw terrible death and destruction. Even for those who persecuted Jesus, Jesus said not to weep, but weep for yourself and for your children, because Jerusalem would see a destruction. So God's judgment would happen and divine retribution would surely come to those who persecute the righteous ones. It is not your job, but God's, to bring the justice. As the passage says, let them be ashamed and brought to mutual confusion, who rejoice at my hurt, Let them be clothed with shame and dishonor, who exalt themselves against me. All the priests and lawyers in Jerusalem were all destroyed together with the city. Let them shout for joy and be glad who favor my righteous cause. And let them say continually, Let the Lord be magnified, who has pleasure in the prosperity of his servant. This prosperity could mean financial prosperity, but also could mean many other things. When you seek the Lord and have a heart to serve him, God always brings prosperity to his servant. Same thing with our church. It is a small, unrecognized church, and I am an unrecognized pastor. But we have a heart to serve, and we saw prosperity in a sense that we are kept safe spiritually. I emailed you yesterday to tell you a bad example of what's going on with other churches with a false prophet. They all seem to have the wrong spirit, but I believe we have the sound doctrine with God's blessing. We have more to give to the world than we now hold seminars and issue monthly newsletters. We have issued about 44 of them. Also a book. We are also trying to send out our messages to the world. I don't believe those accomplishments are all for our own satisfaction. As I said, I never really thought of doing this until I started serving the Lord. Until I was well in my 40s, I believed I would just face the great tribulations, and I used to think that once you become a Christian, salvation was automatically given. I also used to think that Europe was the nation of the beast. My standing with the Lord was not solid because of my ignorance and stupidity. It was such a close call, for I think I almost lost salvation. Talking about close call, I used to be a truck driver, and in the wintertime you would wear something so heavy to work outside. But once you're in the car, you have the heater blasting, so you get hot. But once you're on the highway, you don't want to pull over just so that you can take your clothes off, so you try to undress while you're still driving. Oh, it was such a dangerous thing to do. And when the zippers get caught and could not open the front of your jacket, what would you normally do? You would just pull it over your head, right? But if you do that while you're on the highway, that means you cannot see like 3 seconds. That's dangerous. I'm so glad that I did not do it, but I thought about doing it. Even now, I still think about it once in a while, and it gives me chill. Yes, I was stupid, but this was some stupid thing that I thought of doing in the natural. And spiritually, we all have things that we almost did, or we actually did, and that would set a course of your spiritual path differently. And I never had any revelations, and I never really read Bibles, never read Bible much. But once I started serving the Lord, I started to see what I needed to see, and I learned what I needed to learn. To be the servant of the Lord do not seem to be a prosperous thing to be at first, but Lord did show me the prosperity. And thus, I conclude today's message by reading those last two verses. And my tongue shall speak of your righteousness, and of your praise all the day long.